Father God, good morning. Father God, good morning. Good morning. We say good morning to our Father. Good morning, Father. Good morning, Son. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Can we all say good morning? Good morning. Thank you, church. Where you go. I will follow. Way to start our worship. Let's continue to worship in a wonderful scripture. Today, I'm going to talk about, I forgot my flipper. Today, we're going to talk about fear. Fear is generally, perceived as a negative emotion. A lot of people don't like it. I don't like to be fearful. But do you think fear is good for you? How come? Fear is built into our system, built into our nervous system. It's going to warn us when there's imminent danger. We need to run. We need to hide. We need to fight. We need to escape. Fear can be good for us, but fear is not good if it stays in us. Just like anger. We can be angry, but not can be angry overnight. We can be fearful, but we cannot be fearful all our lives. If not, we get depressed. Because in fear, we feel worthlessness. In fear, we feel loneliness. In fear, we don't feel anything good. All is negative. I don't know about you. Have you ever feel fear in your life? Have you ever been fearful of something? Have you ever been fearful of a family, a situation, in school, before your exam, before your job interview, or before something important in your life? Have you ever been fearful? A lot of people don't know how to handle fears. A lot of people handle fears different ways. Some may try to run away from fear, not to think about it, by doing drugs, watching pornography, or just don't think about it. How do you handle fear? Some people just want to go to sleep because they don't want tomorrow to come, because they are hopeless. They felt hopelessness in their life. They don't want to wake up. They don't want to see sunlight. They just want to stay away from reality so they won't get hurt, because they don't know how to handle it. Or some of us may not even go to sleep. We keep tossing and turning all night long. We can't go to sleep because we worry too much. We don't know what will happen when we go to sleep. What will happen if we ever go to sleep and wake up? How are we going to handle tomorrow? I constantly feel fear in my life. A lot of times, I deceive myself because I want to look good. I have the fear of not looking good. That's why I try to hide my fear. And when I hide my fear, I do it with so much that people will feel sorry for me. I do it out of my pride. I want to look good as a husband. I want to look good as a man. I hide my fear, because if I show my fear, it will show my weakness. It will show that I'm vulnerable. It will show that I'm not a man acceptable by the world. So my fear is manifested in my anger. I become angry. When people cut in front of me when I was driving on the highway, I can be fearful of my life. I can be fearful that I'm not fast enough to press the brake and stop the car or slow down the car. I manifest in anger, saying that person is no good. He's not doing, he doesn't know what he's doing. He's endangering other people's lives. Yes, he is. But I transfer my fear into anger, blame it on someone else. When I am fearful that I may lose a relationship with a friend, then I become angry with people who associate with my friends, blaming them that they are taking away my friend, not giving me a chance to be close to my friend, to have a relationship with them. I get angry at those people. It's so easy because I don't have to look at myself. I just blame it on someone else. Instead of facing my own fear, I transfer my fear into anger and blame it on someone else. So I can justify my anger because he is doing wrong, she is doing wrong, you all are doing wrong, instead of facing and handling my own fear. Today, we're going to look at fear. We're going to look at Psalm 3, the power of prayers. The title is Faith Amid Fears. Let's go to the Bible and see how God tells us about fear. And let's read Psalm 3 and see how the psalmist handled his fear amid of danger when someone's trying to kill him. We open up with Psalm number 3. Psalm 3. Psalm 3. You have your Bible, you can open up the Bible and read together. Psalm 3. A psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessings be on your people. Let's bow our head. Father God, thank you for giving us your words. Thank you for using the psalmist David to tell us how you want us to handle our fear. In the midst of fear, you instruct the psalmist to pray. And this is your will. We know when we are having fear that we are spiritually out of sync with God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. We are so far away from you because we don't know your will. We forgot about you. We forgot about our God. Father, may we align with you again. May you stir our spirit back to you so we can be in sync of you. Because you have promised us your perfect love will cast out all fear. In you, we won't have fear. In you, all our fear will be gone. Because you are God, and you are faithful, and you will deliver what you said and what you promised. Father God, we thank you. May we all have a joyful and receiving heart that we can retain your words, not only in our brain, but in our heart, in our soul, in our spirit, that we can live it out every day, just like the psalmist David did. Father God, we thank you. May your Holy Spirit be with me and with us, so we can really truly understand how to pray in midst of fears. Father God, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are going to look at the psalm, even though it's only 8 verses. I'm going to subdivide it into 4 sessions. First is the predicament of fear, verses 1 and 2. The second is pronouncement of trust, verses 3 and 4. And then peace from assurance, verses 5 and 6. And then petition for delivery, verses 7 to 8. Let's look at the predicament of fear, verses 1 and 2. It's such a simple psalm, only 8 verses. But on the one hand, it's very unusual. This is the first psalm where the psalmist told us, when did he write it? Where did he write it? Because he said, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Out of 150 psalms, there are only 13 psalms that have superscript like this, who tell us exactly what happened. When David was running away from Absalom, his son, this is probably, he's talking about 2 Samuel 15 to 18. In 2 Samuel 15 to 18, they have details of what's going on. But in Psalm 3, it is the heart, the feeling, the emotions, what's going on inside David. And even in these 8 verses, we can capture what's going on in David's heart, in his mind, when he is facing his son. What happened is, his son is trying to kill him. His son is trying to overthrow him, organizing a revolution. Even though David has been under tremendous, tremendous pressure before. Before he became king, King Saul tried to kill him at least 11 times. Now, maybe 30-something, 40 years later, his own son trying to kill him. Can you imagine what kind of mood you have? How would you handle? If your own son is trying to kill you, do I fight back? Do I run? Do I talk to him? Or just do I let him kill me? There are a lot of mixed emotions. It could be, I don't know what's going on with David, but there must be a lot of emotions that he's going through. But still, he slows down and pray. He said, "Oh Lord, when we pray, do we address our Father? When we pray, how do we start our prayer? Oh Lord." In the original language, or in Hebrew, "O Lord" is Yahweh. Yahweh is the covenantal name of God. That's what he promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he told Moses that is his name in Exodus 3. That is his name, I am. And Yahweh is the God. Yahweh is the God who promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that they would be blessed. So David, remember, we pray to a faithful God who has promised and he will deliver. That's how much trust he has already, even though when he started the prayer, "Oh Lord, my God Yahweh, because you are faithful, you are good, you are merciful, you are kind, you are gracious, and you will deliver." And that's how much trust and faith David has in God, Yahweh. He said, "Many are rising against me. Many are saying, my soul, there is no salvation for him in God." I mean, there's so many enemies. He has so many friends he had before were turning against him. They went to the camp of his son, Absalom. He was in great danger. He has to run for his life. He has to take his family away, running away from Jerusalem. And there are so many people against him. And this is the dire situation. When we pray, are we honest enough to tell God what's going through in our life? Or do we just pray, God help me? That's what I do. Yeah, you say God knows everything already. Yes, God knows everything already, but he wants to listen to us. Our God is our Father. He wants to know us. He wants to have a relationship with us. That's why Christianity is so different from any other religion, because Christianity is relationship and religion. We do things religiously, but we do have a relationship with God through our prayers, through our daily devotion, through our services throughout the week, through our daily witnessing of Christ in our life, in a job, in a supermarket, when we walk out, we have a relationship with God. And that's the beauty of Yahweh, because he's the only God. All other gods are not God. Are we honest to God that we are under so much pressure to ask for his deliverance? Are we still prideful of that, yeah, we can handle it, God? I mean, you know, you just help me in this and I'll do the rest. David is honest. God, I'm under so much pressure. Pretty much the whole world is against me. And this is the predicament. When we are fearful, do we have any predicaments? Do we even know what our predicaments are? Or we just run? After his expressed his predicaments, his dire situation, then he said in verse 3, next slide, please. Verse 3, he said, but you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill, Selah. But verse 3, he already started, but you, O Lord, but you. There is quite a transformation. It's a 180-degree difference. This is my predicament. This is the dire situations I am in. But you, O God, you can help me. But you, O Lord, he said, O Lord, again, Yahweh, you are my covenant God. You are faithful. You will remember. You will deliver. And that's how much trust he has. A lot of times when I pray, I'm nervous and I'm task-oriented. I said, oh Lord, help me, and then I forgot about it. Amen. Don't even call God the second time. Don't even remember him the second time. Do we take time in our prayer? Do we take time in knowing God? Do we take time in building a relationship with God through our prayers? Or will you say, amen, thank you, bless us, help us, deliver us? This is what I learned from David. Oh Lord, the second time, we honor God the second time. We praise him, we remember him, and we call God our Father. We don't have to remind God, God is God. It's reminding myself. I need to remind me how much God has done for me, in me, through me. My Lord, you are my Lord, oh Lord. And he said, you are a shield about me. You are a shield. He is not praying for God to protect him. He knows God is protecting him already, because he said, God, oh Lord, is a shield. And he knows the scripture. And he knows God. That's why he is called a man after God's heart. When you go to Genesis 15:1, this is what God says. I am your shield. This is what he told Abraham. I am your shield. I'm going to protect you, and I will. And David knows this. This is not the first time that God is protecting him. Even though in the midst of so many fears, so many enemies, he was fleeing for his life. He is fleeing for his family, for the kingdom. He knows God is protecting him. Even though he's running, he has this peace inside him, knowing that God is protecting him, is God's shield. So it doesn't matter how many enemies he has, how many foes he has, God will take care of it. And when people, in verse 1 year also said, many are rising against me. They don't see God, because David sees God is his glory. Through God, he can have glory. I mean, when I'm running, I will forget about God's glory. I mean, but David remembers. Our God, my God, is my glory. Through him, we can be glorified, and through him, we are glory. In our daily lives, what's our glory? I build my glory, I mean, upon my own self, my abilities, my achievements, my family, my kids, my possession, my profession. How much money in my bank? How many cars I have in the garage? Or how many name brand watches I have? Do we build glory in God? Do we recognize God is our glory? How do we know we put our glory in our own self? Because we brag about it. Hey, I just got a new Mercedes. I got a new BMW. I get a new Lexus. I get a 10,000 square foot house. I bought my own island. We brag about it. Do we brag about God in our life? This is what David is doing. He is running for his life. He's still bragging about God. God is his glory. This is something we need to think about. And I must confess, I don't glorify God a lot of times. I don't give him glory. I don't brag about him a lot of times. And this is something, I mean, really speaks to me. And when people are saying that there's no salvation for him in God, in verse 1, and David responded by, God is the lifter of my head. This is his response. When everybody says, David, God can help you, but he's not going to help you. Look at what you did. Because we all have our own theology. You did something wrong, you deserve punishment. We judge them. You know what God, David did. I mean, he went to the roof, saw a lady taking a shower, keep his eyes on the lady, attracted to her, and then raped her later, and then later on killed her husband. A lot of times we judge. I think a lot of people will do the same thing back then. They were saying that God is not going to help you. David, this is what you deserve. You sin. A lot of times we do the same thing nowadays. People sinned, you deserve it. I'm guilty of that too. Up till 2-3 days ago, I still have the guilt and judgment eyes in my myself. Whenever I talk about hot topics, I will prejudge someone that they are wrong, and I stop listening to them. Even though my face will say, and my mouth will say, okay, let's talk. But my heart is said, you're actually saying you are wrong. And that stops me from listening, and people will know. Our God is different. All the false gods will judge. Just like the three friends of Job. Job, you have sinned. That's why God is punishing you. In this case, a lot of people are still thinking, David, you're bad. You did so much wrong. God can help, but he is not. Because you are bad. You don't deserve any help. You deserve judgment. Our God is different. He's graceful. What David is facing is the consequences of his own action, his sin. It's not God's judgment, because God is still protecting him. Out of his love and care, God knows what's going through. In the midst of all this trauma, life-threatening situation caused by David's own sin, God, Yahweh, still protects and still provides. And that's why David said, God is the lifter of my head. even though so many people are saying there's no salvation for him in God. See how faithful he is, how much trust he has. There's so much I can learn from David, just from the four verses. Oh my God, it is, oh Lord, Yahweh, because he is faithful. In the midst of turmoil, in the midst of fears, David prays. Praise God. And proclaim and claim and declare God's faithfulness in protecting and providing. Can we learn to do that? Yeah, I think so. In the midst of trial, in the midst of fear, he pronounced his trust in God, in Yahweh, because Yahweh is faithful and he will honor his covenant. And from there, because of his trust, he has peace from God. Let's read verses 5 and 6. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. In the midst of all this, David says, I lay down and slept. How many people can sleep when you're running away from your life, trying to save you, trying from a financial crisis, when you lose your job, when you lose a friend, when someone gets mad at you and you fear that you're losing that relationship, or when something happened to your son, to your family, to your parents, can you sleep? Can you sleep? Can we sleep? David has so much trust. He said, I lay down and slept. Not only lay down and slept. You know what can happen to him when he lay down and slept? He almost killed, or he could kill Saul when Saul was sleeping. Same thing here. When David goes to sleep, he could easily be assassinated. Who is protecting him in the sleep? What do you think? Who protects you in your sleep? Especially if someone tries to kill you. Because when King Saul, when he went to sleep, he has people around him, he has weapons around him. But still, David could get into it, get to him, and almost kill him. He could, but he didn't. Think about it. Who protects you in your sleep? We all sleep, right? Did you all sleep? I did. But could you sleep when you're running away? We're having a financial crisis, when you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, when you don't even have food on the table, when you have so much to worry. Maybe you worry for your SAT. Maybe you worry for your college acceptance. Or maybe you worry about your graduation. Maybe you worry about your class, whether you've passed or failed. Or whether you will get the recognition you get. Who protects you in your sleep? David knows who protects him, because Yahweh is his shield, the protector. He lay down and slept. And what? He woke up. I woke again, not just one time. He goes to sleep every night and he wakes up every morning. A lot of times when we are depressed, when we're running out of fear, we don't even want to wake up. When I was depressed, I don't even want to even see the sun. I mean, I want to stay in my bed all day long because I don't know how to handle the reality when I get out into reality. So much pressure. I don't know. But David is different. He woke again. Not the first time. Every day. Every time he went to sleep, he woke up. This is how he praised God in the morning. He knows who protects him in the night when he was sleeping. He also said, for the Lord sustained me. The Lord, Yahweh, sustained him. Not only protected David, He sustained David. Do you think about breathing? Do you think about your blood pressure for people like my age? Do you think about your glucose level? Do you think about your grades? Do you think about school in your sleep? Do you think how you live in your sleep? For people like me, I do. I mean, I don't know, whether I will wake up tomorrow or not. In the past, I do have that question. When I go to sleep, I'm in a certain age limit already, age category. When I sleep, do I wake up? Some people say, oh yeah, I'd rather die in my sleep, we'll be so happy. I hear that, but I have always have that question. Until recently, God took that question away. When I sleep, who's going to sustain me? Because God does. God sustains me. He puts fresh air into my life. He puts oxygen into my life. He keeps my heart pumping. My blood keeps circulating. And He wakes me up in the morning. That's how God sustained me. David knows God sustained him even in the midst of losing his life. Don't know what to do, what to say to his son when he sees his son. To fight, to run, to kill, or whatever, I don't know. But he knows God is faithful. Because of his faith, I will not be afraid. Because he cried out to the Lord to pray. And he knew God sustained him. That's why he is not afraid of many thousands. Remember in verse 1, he was asking, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there's no salvation for him in God. But here in verse 6, he said, I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. All his enemies, he has no fear. All the circumstances has nothing to do with him because he knows God can take care for him. God protects and provides. Even in the midst of danger, imminent danger, he has the peace to go to sleep because he has the assurance from God, Yahweh, that Yahweh is protecting and providing. Once again, brothers and sisters, friends, do we pray to praise God? Do we pray to remember what God has done in our life when he protected and provided for us? Can we pray with assurance like David, so we can go to sleep at night peacefully, calmly, so we wake up in the morning feeling the energy, feeling revitalized, even though in midst of all the circumstances which are against us. We always remember God, and this is what David does. That's why we said David is a man after God's heart. This is not Isaiah. This is what God says. David is a man after God's heart. He knows God. He knows God is faithful. He knows God will deliver. And he knows God will listen. And even in his prayers, he refers back to God because he really knows God. Not what God has done in his life, but other people's life. Do we know what God has done in our neighbor's life? Do we know what God has done in our friend's life, in our family's life, that we can praise him? We can remember his faithfulness, his deliverance? Do we know? David does. Pray in the midst of fear. Pray that God, Yahweh, delivers. Then in verses 7 and 8, we look at his petition for delivery. Even though he was running, he doesn't know whether God will deliver him or not. He is sure that God will deliver him, even though a lot of times when we pray, does God always answer? Or should I say, or ask it again, does God always answer the way we want it? God always answers our prayers. The only thing is, it may not be the same as our expectation. In prayers, God can answer yes. He asks that a lot of times. It's just like when David were praying, when David were crying out to the Lord. Psalm 34, he said, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. David has prayed to God and God delivered him. And this is in Psalm 34 when David was fleeing away from Abimelech, the king of Philistine. This was like 30-something, 40 years ago before he became king. He prayed and God delivered, God answered. Why does he cry out? Because he wants God to know. It's not just, okay, I ask God in my heart. Yes, there are times that we have silent prayers. But God also wants to listen to us. That's why he said, I sought the Lord and he answered me. How do you know God answered? Because he speaks to us. He delivered. David keeps praying and praying and praying. There are a lot of yeses to David's life, to David's prayers. But did God answer no? And we submit to his answer? Have you ever prayed and God said no? And, oh, no. How do you feel? God, you're lying. You're faithful and you said no. What do you think? Do you feel good? Do you feel God is loving? Love is kind, or God is kind? God is gracious? And he still says no. And, oh. Have you ever prayed and God said no? Do we listen? Do we keep on praying? Do we ask for clarification? How do you handle it? In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, 3, it said, when David prayed to build the temple, and this is what God said, you may not build a house for my name, for you are a man of war and have shed blood. God says no to King David. No, you're not going to build my temple. Oh, God's temple, not mine. God's temple. And David listens. It's not easy, but God listens. I mean, David listens. A lot of times we also have the answer we may not expect. God may say, wait. It's not yes, it's not no. It's wait. Do we have the patience to wait for God? Are we patient enough to wait for God? It's just like in Psalm 40, it said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. God is faithful and he remembers. David is also faithful in listening to God. He prays, but he's also submissive and obedient to the yes, to the no, to the wait that God replied. So in the midst of all these prayers, he is still patient enough to pray and listen to God. And he reminded God again. Verse 7, he said, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessings be upon your people, Selah. In the midst of this, he said, arise. He has so much confidence in God. He said, arise, O Lord. He's actually quoting a scripture here. He's actually quoting Numbers 10:35. When Moses was with the Israelites, ready to move out the tabernacle to a next place. When they're ready to move out, David said, "Arise, O Lord. Let's go, and Lord will take care of their enemies. Lord, the Lord will go in front of them, of the Israelites, to take care of the enemies." And this is what David is saying. Lord, you have done this in the past. You have done this with Moses. You have done this with me. You arise. You go ahead before me. You take care of my enemies. You protect me. That's why David has so much confidence, so he can sleep at night and wake up in the morning, because he knows God. He's not commanding God to arise. He is reminding God, this is what you've done in the past. Arise, O Lord. When we pray, do we really know the scripture when we pray? Do we pray with the scripture? A man after God's heart will pray with God's scripture, with God's word. And this is what David does. And also knows so much about his enemies, all about the details. But finally he said, salvation belongs to the Lord. Actually, the salvation here is more like delivery. David is already saved by God. He has his eternal life already. This is the delivery from his danger. But salvation still belongs to the Lord, Yahweh. So what does this psalm have to do with us now? Salvation belongs to the Lord. Who is Lord? Now we have Lord Jesus. And who knows the meaning of Jesus? The word Jesus. What does Jesus mean? We say Jesus a lot. Jesus Christ a lot. Do we know what it means? I'm sorry? Yes, the Lord is my Savior. This is what David is saying. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Jesus. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our salvation. Brothers and sisters, for those who have accepted Christ as their Lord and the Savior, I ask you and encourage you to continue to pray in midst of fear, in midst of unclear certainty, when we feel worthlessness, hopelessness, that we continue to pray with faith. For those who have yet to know Christ and accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior yet, I encourage you to look and open up your heart to receive and listen to Jesus, and one day accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior, because only Jesus can save. The Lord has protected David, and he will protect us and provide for us also, because God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He never lies. He always delivers. He always listens to us. And now, he has sent Jesus to us already. Are we ready to receive Jesus as the Lord and Savior? Because Jesus is the salvation. For those who have accepted Christ, their salvation is protection. For those who haven't accepted Christ yet, their salvation is eternal life, the freedom of not sinning, the freedom of coming to know God, the freedom of reconciling with God, the freedom and privilege of coming before God and have no fear. Because the fear comes from where? The fear comes of uncertainty of dying. When we die, we don't know where we're going. That's the fear. That's why God says, perfect love casts out fear. When you know God, and God is the Father, Jesus is our Lord and Savior and our brother, we have eternal life. We have no fear of tomorrow. We have no fear of not knowing where we go after we die. So much people are fearful of dying. God takes care of that already. God sends Jesus to us. We just need to accept Jesus as Savior and Christ. Then we don't have any fear, because God's love casts out all fear. And for those of us, I ask you and encourage you to represent God just like David. When we live out our life like David, when we pray, not only praying for ourselves, when he prays that your blessing be on your people. When we pray for other people too. but only for ourselves, just like King David. Blessings be on your people, be on our family, be on our friends at school, friends at work, friends in our neighborhood. Pray for them. So blessing be upon them. And especially when people are having fear, they don't know tomorrow. And when people don't know God, they fear about death. God is sending you and I to those people to bring his peace, to bring his assurance, so people can sleep in the night and wake up in the morning. When they die, the physical life ends on earth, but the eternal life starts from now when they accept Christ. Jesus said, take all the judgment and all the consequences. May we all bow our head and accept Jesus. Father God, we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. As you said, Jesus is our salvation. May we all depend on Jesus just like David has depended on you, trusted you so much. He continues to pray with faith, continues to pray with assurance so he can sleep, he can wake up. May we also have that kind of faithfulness in praying, telling you our dilemma, telling you what we are going through, and assuring you that we continue to pray because you will deliver as you have delivered Abraham, Moses, King David, and you will deliver us. Father God, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.